I'm tempted to say that all of the students in my class would be incredibly bored. And they would have to spend more time focusing on some of the material, the concepts, the theories, the debates that we're talking about, and that would be incredibly tedious for them. My friends, my very close friends, believe that students of this incoming generation have attention deficit disorder, so it would be virtually impossible for them to follow even three sentences. And I guess it begs the question, if you take out Twitter or Facebook, then students will just move to a new technological or media platform. They will move to MSN, they will move to email, they will take out their phones and start texting. They will put in their earphones discreetly under their hair and listen to music. They will find a way to not listen to you. That is the pessimistic view. If we treat Facebook and Twitter as technological tools that can enhance learning, then maybe that is a better approach. Some professors have adopted the technology with varying degrees of success. But again, the thing that's great about media, and technology in particular, is that it's all part of an ongoing experiment. You know, I use these things in the class because it is an experiment. Some things will work better than others. Are we bastardizing, you know, public discourse? I don't know, maybe. But there's a chance that we might actually be allowing people to understand dense ideas. We might actually be able to tap into people's desires about learning, desires to participate in a broader community. Say we do an activist project in my classroom, they can use Twitter as a platform to, invite people in on this broader project. You know, that's just it's a communication medium that simply allows for the exchange of ideas, and it's how you use it that is most important.
You've been listening to Pioneer Radio on CFRU 93.3. Join us next week when we ask, what are you doing in Guelph and how did you get here? Don't forget, if you still love the internet after today's program, you can check us out at pioneerradio.wordpress.com. See you next week. There's never been such grave a matter as comparing our new brand name black sunglasses, all these poses such beauty. Welcome to the working week. Oh, I know it don't thrill you, I hope it don't kill you. Welcome to the working week. You gotta do it till you do it, so you better get to it. I hear you saying it seems alright when you're ordering a bag of them books. Spend all your money getting so convinced that you never even thought of us. Sometimes I wonder if we're living in the same land. Glad you wanna be my friend when I feel like the children running out of hands. Welcome to the working week. Oh, welcome to the working.
Just missed another beat. The ground's still moving beneath your feet. Your mouth is dry, your eyes are sore. There's nothing certain anymore. You thought that history was dead. Well, it just whacked you on the head. Took your money and your right. It It's coming back to take your pride. Golden days are just a memory, but that's alright, 'cause the market is still free. The market's free. Survival of the fittest is a Swiss law of the jungle's what it is. I hope you still think it's okay. Now it's you are the prey. Golden days are just a memory, but that's all right, 'cause the market is still free. The market's free.
And that was Charlie and Craig Reid from Ochtermachty, also known as the Proclaimers, with their song Free Market from the album Notes and Rhymes. And this is not Radio Ochtermachty at all. This is CFRU 93.3 FM and you are listening to The Working Week. It is 5:37, give or take, on Monday. Is it October the 4th? I believe so. I was off today, but it was one of those off and on days where I've lost all track of time. And so, back in black. Yes. I'm going to give you the weather, because it's weird. Tonight's going to be 5, with a 40% chance of showers. Tuesday, high of 15, also 40% chance of showers. Wednesday, high of 15, low of 7. And a little bit of rain, 30%. But the roll-up to the weekend, which is a long weekend for most people, for a lot of people, I can't say most people, Thanksgiving. Did you know? It's Thanksgiving. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we got sun, one day a little bit of cloud. 18, 16, 18, and 19 is being predicted respectively, with a low of around 10-ish. So that's supposed to be the home stretch into the weekend for Monday for Thanksgiving, which, contrary to popular belief, it's not a religious holiday. I don't know where this is coming from, that, you know, Thanksgiving is some sort of holiday that belongs to any given faith. I've been getting that vibe lately, and there's enough religious holidays. Let's just have one where, you know, you give thanks. I mean, what a perfect, it should be perfect. You shouldn't really be gorging yourself. I mean, and of course, our Thanksgiving is different from the American one. And I'll have more on that, actually. Not as much Thanksgiving, but Black Friday when it's coming. Because the cliff is coming. The end of November, the tentative date, is the last Sunday in November, which is the Sunday after Black Friday. And cliff some of you may remember, is the Canadian Labour International Film Festival. So it was quite successful last year, and it was at Ed Video, and we had a great time. It's coming back this year, but it's going to be at the Labour office this time in all likelihood. But that's far enough away that I'm not going to give you too many details, but just keep it in the back of your head that the Canadian Labour International Film Festival is coming back to town at the end of November. What else is coming? The election's coming. Oh, I should mention, tomorrow morning on Election Radio from 7 to 9, with your hosts Jan Hall, myself, and Oliver Rockside. In the first hour, I'm not sure what's on the second hour, but the first hour I know for sure that David Burt Whistle will be in the house as of the last I checked my mail and stuff. So, mayoral candidate David Burt Whistle will be in the house tomorrow morning. We'll be right here at 7 or just after 7 o'clock on Election Radio. So that's just a shout out for tomorrow morning for when you get up. Yeah, so anyway, this weekend, as I said, was Thanksgiving. And there's actually a very significant event taking place down in further down in southwestern Ontario from us, called the Pilgrimage to Freedom, Breaking the Chains of Indentureship, on the 10th of October. Support migrant workers and allies who will be marching from Leamington to Windsor, which is a heck of a walk, to call attention to the living and working conditions of migrant workers who grow and process our food this Thanksgiving. Migrant workers are marching to demand status, an end to exorbitant recruitment fees, better housing, safe working conditions, and an end to racism and sexism in the workplace. Allies, which is you and me, will be walking alongside workers in solidarity with their call for justice. There's a few things you can do to help, and the best way to find out how you can help or more information on the march/walk is to contact Justicia for Migrant Workers. There's actually an email specific to this event. It's pilgrimage number two freedom. So pilgrimage to freedom at gmail.com. It does say register by October the 3rd. I'm sure there's probably a bit of leeway. If you have something to contribute, then they'll be very grateful. And also, if you want more info, more detailed information, visit Justicia for Migrant Workers, which is Justicia number four, migrant workers, all one word, .org, or just Google Justicia for Migrant Workers. So in honor of this march, I'm going to play something from the files. I believe it was late last summer. This is from Sister Mary Carl, whose Migrant Matters is probably the number one show around covering the issues of migrant workers. And it's actually now a Rabble podcast along with the Labor Show, not along with, in tandem to, it's in addition to, there's been quite a few shows have left CFRU and ended up on Rabble, and Migrant Matters is one of them. An excellent, excellent show. So this is from the archive. This is Health is a Right and Prioritizing the Health of for Migrant Workers. And let's get to that right now.
My name is Kate Sheese. I'm an organizer and educator with Justicia for Migrant Workers, and I'm also currently finishing my master's degree at York University in psychology.
What brings you to this event?
Well, I was helping to organize this event. I've been living in Virgil this summer, doing some research for my master's degree and some organizing work with Justicia, mm-hmm. With migrant workers, specifically around mental health and focusing mainly on women.
Can you talk about this event and what exactly it is?
Yeah, so this is an event. It's kind of a combination of things. The overall theme is health. So it's Health Day, and also it's the open house for the UFCW Support Center that's located here in Virgil. And so we've brought together a pretty wide range of people interested and in health and who offer services in health. So, for example, the occupational health nurses and doctors. I'm here. Yeah. There's a workshop about safe workplaces in terms of kind of sexual harassment and things like that.
What other workshops are being held today?
I think there's a workshop about sexual health. There's a workshop about sexual harassment in the workplace. A workshop about occupational health and rights in the workplace, I believe. That's just a...
There's an eye health workshop.
Yeah, so a variety of different people and organizations are here today to consult with people and to offer information and services.
So how did the organizing of this event come about?
a bunch of us who have been involved in this community and community members themselves have all kind of identified a serious lack of accessibility to health services, despite the fact that migrant workers are covered in Ontario are covered under OHIP, or elsewhere in Canada are covered under whatever the provincial health insurance plan is. So despite this coverage and entitlement to health services, migrant worker, there are tend to be a number of really significant barriers to accessing health care.
Mm-hmm. What kind of feedback have you been receiving from migrant workers?
At this event specifically?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a huge, there's been a huge turnout, and people seem happy to be here. There are lots of people consulting with especially with the occupational health nurse that's here. And I think, generally speaking, whenever we hold events, or even if it's just a single workshop, people often express just being happy to kind of have an opportunity to come together and meet people that are working on different farms. They're often, that tends to be, a pretty prevalent sentiment. But I think with health specifically, there's a huge need for concrete services and information. Mm-hmm. But I think, unfortunately, one of the problems is that, we can give out lots of information, but it doesn't necessarily change the situation in terms of accessibility. So that's one of the major barriers, I think, that we face.
And what kind of feedback have you been receiving from the migrant worker advocates who are citizens here helping out migrant workers?
Personally, I haven't really received any feedback.
Oh, that's right. Okay, that's
so.
What are some common health problems experienced by migrant workers in Canada?
I'm probably not the best person to ask about specific health problems. I mean, I think in terms of, there are tons of occupational health issues. There's lots of literature on agricultural work is one of the most dangerous jobs that exists. So there are tons of occupational health concerns. But also, for me, the kinds of issues that I've been really interested in and that have been coming up, especially in my work with women, have been sexual and reproductive health issues, which are pretty huge. And again, it's one of these issues where, in fact, I think that women have a pretty high level of education about the kinds of things they should be looking out for and even how to protect themselves from things like STIs and so on, but aren't able to access either the resources that they need, like condoms or birth control, or testing for STIs and things like that. So that's a really serious problem. Another thing to do with reproductive health has to do with pregnancies, because women aren't able generally to access contraception. There is a pretty high rate of, speaking kind of anecdotally, there are a number of pregnancies every year, and women feel like they have to keep them secret because women have been repatriated for getting pregnant while in Canada, especially if it's a high-risk pregnancy. So that causes all kinds of problems, because women are working without receiving the proper prenatal care that they need, and may also be involved in tasks in their job that are precarious to the pregnancy and to their own health, especially if they're working with pesticides or other chemicals and stuff like that. They're also very, very difficult to access abortions in Canada for migrant women, even though they're entitled to these services. So we do know of women who are taking a drug called misoprostol to miscarry, which, when that's done kind of unsupervised by medical professionals, is very dangerous to a woman's health and may not even be successful and then cause further difficulties in the pregnancy.
In your work, have you worked with a lot of living caregivers? I know most of them are women.
Yeah, I haven't personally. I've been mostly involved in the agricultural workers community.
Can you talk a bit about what kind of health services are offered to migrant workers and people of non-status or with precarious status in Canada?
Yeah, well, I think that in urban areas, there are community health centers that are specifically target undocumented people who are undocumented or migrant workers, like women who come on the live-in caregiver program. But in rural areas, there are tend not to be any services that are specifically directed towards migrant workers, particularly around health.
Yeah, there's none in Guelph, except there's a small group of people who are starting something, but...
Yeah. So that's a huge problem. and services that are agencies that are typically, sorry, services that are typically extended to new immigrants or to refugees, like settlement services, counseling, free ESL classes, those kinds of services are not extended to migrant workers. They don't qualify for these programs. So,
based on your experience and knowledge, what are the most important issues facing migrant workers currently?
I think one of the biggest concerns has to do with a lack of appeal mechanisms available to migrant workers, which makes their status totally vulnerable, precarious in Canada, because if they can basically be fired, repatriated, or barred from the program for any reason, and there's no access to an appeal mechanism to appeal that kind of decision, mm-hmm. which obviously could have a huge impact on somebody's life. So that makes people's position in the program so vulnerable, to the point where health kind of takes a back seat to the other kinds of concerns, like keeping your place in the program. So people are generally or often scared to stand up for their rights if they know what they are. Mm-hmm. That's one of the main reasons people aren't able to access services, because they are too afraid to take time off, or aren't allowed to take time off, or can't have access to their health card because the employer is holding on to it, or they're too intimidated by the employer to go through them and have to justify their reasons, especially, I think, for women who, if they have any sexual or reproductive health concerns, that's a very intimidating situation to go to your generally male employer and have to explain what your situation is.
Mm-hmm. What are essential steps that can be taken to remedy these issues?
Well, I think, again, this issue of appeal mechanisms, I think something like that needs to be put into place, something that where it's really kind of a transparent system, because I can also imagine putting appeal mechanisms into place that aren't actually working. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really important that get done in a way that's transparent and where there's accountability and clear responsibility. I think the Canadian government really needs to be held accountable in this program, because generally it falls to the consulates of the participating countries to take responsibility, and they're in a pretty awkward position themselves, where they're having to kind of fight for their country's place in the program and defend their place in the program, which is so important to, you know, revenue in their country. And I think that the Canadian government really tends to get off kind of scot-free.
Mm-hmm. What are some practical actions that Canadian citizens can undertake in order to help remedy these issues?
That's a good question. I think there is a serious lack of awareness of these issues in the first place. So I think that it's especially interesting considering the local food movement in Canada, where people feel like they're doing something ethical by eating local or consuming local food and other local products. And that, not to say that it's not a good thing to do, but that the conditions under which this food or these products are created are generally not known. And I think so awareness is a big thing, but I think that there does need to be action from Canadian citizens demanding, I think, kind of taking a political stance and saying that these kinds of situations will not be tolerated, and that we want ethical, you know, our food to be produced ethically. And I think it also has to do with the government supporting agriculture in a way that is sustainable, and that doesn't involve subsidizing the agricultural industry with human bodies instead mm-hmm. of dollars or other means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's a step to getting them to think about taking a stand and how they can take a stand. So what about the argument that migrant workers and non-status peoples do not pay for health care benefits and thus should not receive them?
Well, I think that's not actually true. Migrant workers pay taxes like anybody else in Canada. Taxes are taken off of their wages, just like any other person who's working in Canada. And so they are mm-hmm. contributing. Mm-hmm. And in fact, they've been contributing for over 40 years now and accessing nowhere close to their fair share of services, and especially around health. So it's actually kind of really been beneficial for the Canadian government to have people paying all these taxes and not accessing the services that these taxes are paying for.
What other barriers are there for migrant workers to maintaining good health for themselves?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of barriers in terms of mental health. I mean, obviously, just the separation from communities, from families, particularly for women. Mexican women, in order to qualify for the program, generally speaking, are required to be single mothers. And so, of course, they're not allowed to bring their children with them and then have to find somebody to take care of their children while they're in Canada for up to 8 months of the year. And so I think these kinds of separations are very difficult. I think people, you know, kind of transnational parenting is characterized by a lot of profound worry and stress about whether kids are being taken care of properly at home, particularly for women who are leaving their kids with other relatives or maybe not people who are not even relatives, and issues of trust come up. I think also the tensions that arise between workers themselves because of the stressful conditions that they're under, and they're living with the same people and working with the same people under really stressful and cramped conditions with little to no privacy whatsoever. And that causes, that can cause a great deal of interpersonal tension, including rivalry, due to the competitive nature of the program. Mm.
The C.J. Monfort Center is a resource center for people of color and Aboriginal peoples at the University of Guelph. This is where we all unite. The Monfort Center, located in McKinnon Room 54 and 55, provides a microwave, two computers, and a fridge, among other resources. The center is a place to study, sleep, or relax. It's a place for great conversation. If you want to vent, share experience, good or bad, this is the place for you. You meet great people, and it's just an overall awesome environment. Don't hesitate to drop in anytime before 10 p.m., and you're sure to meet a smiling face. For more information, call us at 519-824-4120. Extension 56911, or visit us at www.uoguelph.ca/Monfort, or join our Facebook group.
Wow, Tempest Fugit, the time is just blowing by tonight. So I'm going to tell you about a few events that are happening, and then I'm going to get out of here. This just in from the Hissing Goose, some things that are happening this week. Tuesday, October 5th, tomorrow, letter writing to prisoners, 6:30 p.m. at the downtown library. I take it that would probably be in the open area with the tables, so just go there and write a letter. Wednesday, October 6th, Come On, Teenager and Daniel Francis Doyle, 9 p.m. at the cinema, 121 Wyndham Street North, a Peter B. Presents production, $7, not too bad. Thursday, October 7th, group harvest for the anti-colonial Thanksgiving dinner at Ignatius Farm at 10 in the morning, so if you're around on Thursday, head up there. Same day, Kazoo 104, Light Fires, Rogue, and Ally Hughes, 9:30 p.m. at the E-Bar, which is 40 Quebec Street. No price. Oh, well, just go. Friday, October 8th, House Show with Teen Violence, Kick Everything, and The Stick. 7 p.m. at the Upper Deck, that is 10 Edwin Street. That's a new one on me. I never heard of that one, so that doesn't mean it doesn't exist, because I didn't hear about it. So... yeah, that's all I have for tonight, and I'll get to next week's events next week. That is the working week for this week. My name is Scotty Hertz. Thanks for joining me tonight, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Tomorrow, yes, tomorrow morning, 7 a.m., Election Radio, and of course we'll be back next week. So take care, folks, and happy Thanksgiving.